Peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On behalf of the group here at Cooks Memorial Presbyterian Church, we'd like to welcome you to our worship service where we seek to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started. First of all, a note about the mask that I'm wearing. I'm wearing a mask today because my daughter was diagnosed with COVID. She had a positive test result. So I'm wearing one today and staying sufficiently back from people and not going to greet people on the way out. So if you have something to say to me, I look forward to it and welcome it, but maybe you should give me a phone call later this afternoon. Anyway, Lily is doing well. Her illness seems to be very mild, but we are trying to do everything with an abundance of precaution. Quick reminder that we have Sunday morning classes to study God's Word each week for everyone at 9 a.m. All adults are meeting in 113, and children and youth are meeting in 210. We'd love to have everyone join us. We need ushers for the following dates, 2 for August 28th and 4 for each week in September. To sign up, please see Denise Veed out in the narthex this morning. Rally Day is a Sunday school kickoff for the new year. Is September 11th at 9 a.m. Everyone is invited. Parents, please let the church office know if you have a third grader this year, if we've accidentally missed you in the past, to present a Bible to the kids. Cook's Church will hold a mission trip to Caggiato Children's Home on Thursday through Tuesday, September 15th through 27th. Please see Gay List for more on this amazing experience. They have an urgent need for donations of children's underwear and small toys for children ages 4 through 16 to be brought into the church no later than next Sunday, August 28th. So please remember that. Mark your calendars for the upcoming mission ministry events. We have a sandwich making Sunday, September 18th after worship. Crop walk will be Sunday, October 16th after worship. Please join us as we get lap pledges from friends and family. We'll be walking here at our church so that there won't be a trip downtown, just so you know. Operation Christmas Child will begin collecting shoeboxes in the early fall. Watch for more information on that. I definitely have an announcement from Petey Self. Are there any others before she speaks that need to be brought to the congregation's attention at this time? Okay, Petey.
I have two announcements. I want to thank the congregation for the school supplies that you all have donated. We always have a wonderful turnout. We had enough school supplies to divide between two elementary schools. And Friday, I took a whole carload of things to Paul Creek Elementary, and they were very, very happy. The other load of school supplies will go to a school in Mount Holly. So I want to just thank you from the missions committee. But really what I'm here to tell you about is the Presbyterian Women's kickoff. And I had been calling it a brunch, but it is a breakfast because it's at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning, September the 10th. And this is when we'll gather, we'll have fun, we'll eat, and you will learn about the things that the Presbyterian women are going to do this year. Our activities, our Bible studies, and there will be two Bible studies, one at night and one in the morning. And so I have a chart here, a sign-up chart, and I would love for you to sign up to bring things for that breakfast. And please don't feel like if you don't bring something that you can't come. That's not true. We want you to come even if you can't bring something. So see me after church. I'll be out front with my little chart here. So love to have all our women join us that day. Thank you.
Now let us open our hearts and minds for the worship of God.
O come, let us sing to the Lord.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving.
Let us pray. Lord God, whose power and mercy have extended to all ends of creation, pour your love on us this day that we might be healed and be ready to serve you by serving others in this the world that you have created. Heavenly Father, be with us now in the power of your Holy Spirit, providing us every insight necessary, O Lord. Quicken our hearts and minds to hear you speak your precious word into our hearts. Be with us, O Lord, as we prepare for worship of you in all its fullness, truth, and beauty. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now join me in the singing of our first hymn, Amazing Grace. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 5. First John teaches us that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But that if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will cleanse us of our sins and relieve us all of our transgressions. So friends, in humility and in faith, let us confess what it is we know about ourselves to the Lord corporately using the words of this morning's prayer of confession. Join me. Lord God, we are so bound by rules and regulation that we fail to see the human need that goes beyond the bounds of structures. We easily relegate compassionate service to those agencies that have that as their mandate, forgetting that you have given us the supreme mandate to care for one another, even as you have cared for us. We turn our backs on those in need, giving the responsibility to someone else. Stop us from our selfish ways and heal our hardened hearts. Forgive us again, as you often before, when we have failed to be your witnesses and workers. Help us become involved in ministries of peace and light where we are. For there is nowhere in creation where your love is not needed. Let us bring messages of love and hope to all people. Bring us to an understanding of the partnership of healing and hope that abides in your service. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. By the waters of our baptisms, we can be assured that we have been washed by the power of the Holy Spirit, that everything on us that has been sullied will be made clean by the power that has saved us in Jesus Christ. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Having made our confession, let us now confess what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed found in this morning's bulletin as well. Join me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join me in our second hymn, number 340.
Oh,
At this time, we'd like to invite the kids to come down for a special time just for them with Miss Petey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Did you start school this week? You didn't start school? Well, last week. That's what I meant. You've already started school. Nicole, have you started school yet, Nicole?
Noelle,
I'm sorry. You told me. Noelle. No wonder she didn't look at me. Noelle, have you started school yet? Yeah. What about your teachers? Do you like your teachers so far? Do you? That's good. That's good. You know that Jesus was the greatest teacher who ever lived and walked on the face of the earth. And he did a lot of teaching. It's a group of people called the Pharisees, and they had used parables to explain the meaning of the law. But Jesus liked to use parables to explain different things. And these parables is what Jason has been preaching on for several weeks. And they're only found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the two that we're going to talk about today are the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. So in order to explain a truth, Jesus is teaching. And so he gives us this parable. And this is what the parable says. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is one of the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. How about that? A mustard seed. Look how small a mustard seed is. And pass that around. They're tiny, tiny seeds. Back when Jesus was alive, they were the tiniest of seeds. But this mustard seed can grow into a 10-foot tall tree. Now, I'm 5 feet tall and a little bit more. So there's another 5 feet above me for a mustard seed to grow. The kingdom of heaven that Jesus is talking about does not mean heaven. He means us on earth. And it started out very small, with just the people that Jesus was talking to over in Jerusalem and the countries of the Middle East, and also what his disciples were talking about. But what he is saying is that it will eventually become so large that it will spread throughout the whole world. Now, yeast, that's another thing. Yeast. Have you ever made bread? Your mom makes bread, I'm sure. Sometimes when you make bread, you have to put yeast in it. You have flour and maybe milk and sugar, but it's not going to get big like a loaf of bread without putting yeast in it. And Jesus was also mean the same thing. He said the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all the way through the dough. And the kingdom of heaven will spread like that Now, who do you think helps spread the kingdom of heaven? Do we? Yes, we can help spread the kingdom of heaven by telling our friends about Jesus. Okay? So, remember the tiny little mustard seed that grows into a great big plant and the yeast that makes a loaf of bread get bigger. So must we spread that kingdom of heaven. Pray with me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for mustard seeds.
Thank you for mustard seeds.
And yeast.
And yeast.
And for Jesus who taught us about the kingdom of heaven.
And for Jesus who taught us about the kingdom of heaven.
Through a parable.
Through a parable.
In his name we pray.
In his name we pray.
Amen. Have a good week. Hope things go well at school for you.
That was wonderful. Thank you. We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming of the Word of God. As Presbyterians, this is the center point of our faith lives, is to gather around the Word and to seek to hear what the Holy Spirit will reveal to us. And in that space of holy dedication to God's Word, we call upon the Holy Spirit to bring forward into our hearts and minds, bodies and souls, the illumination necessary for us to grasp the Word that are given. So join me as we pray together, seeking God's illumination. Come, Holy Spirit, giver of life, breathe into us this day that we might hear a word of your truth. Draw us into communion, O Lord, enable us to love. Conspire to make us one with you for the world you so deeply love. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Today's Old Testament lesson is from Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10, and it can be found on page 746 of your Pew Bible. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You know, in my life, both as a kid and as an adult, I've had the opportunity to know some twins, both types, both fraternal and identical. And it's been interesting to me to see, you know, at times how they can be similar and at other times how they can be dissimilar from one another. But almost always, it's interesting to me, you know, when you've got an identical twin to realize you've got somebody out there in the world that's like a doppelganger of you. I don't know what that's like. But sometimes it's been my experience that it's the fraternal twins that are more like each other. Sometimes maybe I wonder if identical twins don't go out of their way to kind of differentiate themselves a little bit from their sibling. Anyway, I start out with twins today because this morning we're going to deal with a pair of twin, we're going to deal with two parables. Now, I call these parables, and they definitely are, but they're slightly different parables than what we've been looking at. These really service more as extended analogies, whereas some of the parables I've taught during our summer of parables have been more fulsome stories. There's been, of course, you know, the parable of the prodigal son or the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. Those are much more extended, lengthy stories. Now, the point and the purpose is to do the same as these kind of extended illustrations. So they are considered parables, but a little different. And so we come into them and we hear these two twin parables of the mustard seed and the yeast that Petey did such a good job of explaining to the kids. This is a biblical convention, honestly, this stacking of illustrations or stories. We're going to see this in numerous occasions. We've already done one sermon on it, on something similar, when we looked at the treasure in the field and the pearl. Those were twin extended analogies or parables that are stacked. The point is, they deal with the similar subject matter, but they come at things just slightly differently. So as a group, they're going to illuminate the same kinds of points, but they're going to do so and expand and build on one another so that we can see where they are. Now, a couple of things before we get started on this explanation of this particular parable or extended analogies that bears some discussion is, first of all, we're talking about the kingdom of God, or as Petey called it, the kingdom of heaven. It depends on our translation, which we're going to see. Now, sometimes, as Petey mentioned, I hope we all heard, sometimes we want to take that kingdom of God and make it heaven. But it's not that entirely, because heaven is our eschatological hope. Heaven is where we hope to be once our days have ended. That's that space when God brings a new creation. New heavens and a new earth in. That's heaven, and that is the fullness of the kingdom of God. But to move the kingdom of God and say it doesn't exist here and now is actually biblically incorrect. The kingdom came in the person of Jesus Christ. In fact, Origen writes about the autobasileia, which is the king himself has come in Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is here with us in a small but limited way, and we look forward to the fullness of its consummation, which will be in eternity in the kingdom of God. That's where it will be. And so in order to get at this, it helps to kind of read the Gospel of John, because the Gospel of John talks about this kingdom of God being already here in the person and presence of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, but not entirely in its fulsomeness, which we'll see in heaven, so to speak. So as Jesus is speaking about the kingdom of God and using these analogies, as best you're able, don't try to put this somewhere off in the sweet by and by, right? What we need to do is locate the kingdom here and now, because it is here and now, because we know that Jesus Christ is with us and will never leave us until the very end of the age. And even then, he'll join us on the other side. So the kingdom of God is here in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. The other thing that we need to establish is whenever we look at parables is the context, because context in the actual Gospels is oftentimes going to give us our clearest intent into the meaning. So we look back several passages. This one, fortunately, we look back onto material we've already covered. I think it was last week or maybe the week before that we looked at the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower precedes these two twin analogies, and it does so reminding us about the soil types. If you'll recollect, the soil types are going to determine how that seed, that word of God, is going to grow. And if we look, what we find, if we're looking at it from percentages, is that only 25% of that seed is going to land on fertile soil. That's not a real great percentage, unless you're, you know, Matt Olson for the Braves, and then it's pretty good. But 25% is a low number, and that's where it was supposed to be anyway. The second thing to keep in mind about the context there is that, as we talked about in the parable of the sower, we've got to look at the soil types of our heart. If you'll recollect, we looked at the fertile type that would have the greatest growth, and we looked at the other types as well. That's here. But now think for a moment, if you're hearing that parable for the first time and you're trying to make sense of it, the payoff is this. You're going to go out and work, but 75% of your efforts are going to come to naught, right? That's not exactly an inspiring word if you take it in that vein. The next parable, it makes things even more difficult. In the parable of the weeds and the wheat, what we find is that the weeds and the wheat are growing up together, meaning these wonderful shoots of wheat as well as the weeds. And then surprisingly, in the parable, it's asked, you know, should we go tear out the weeds? And the answer is no. Well, that would leave the disciples with the awareness that in their midst, were going to be people that weren't entirely doing the same things for the same reason that they were. And that would have been a harrowing realization. So the context of those two parables that precede this one, both can look daunting, if you will. They both can seem very challenging. But when you consider these parables that we're going to study today, they serve as a measure of hope for people who may have heard difficult things and were growing hopeless. So I want us to think about that as we hear these. These are parables of hope for people that think maybe hope is going the way of the dodo. I read to you now the verses from the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter. I read verses 31 through 33. I invite you to hear now the word of our Lord. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all of the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like the leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till all is leavened." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So these disciples that would have heard the previous material now get these twin stacking extended analogies. And it's helpful to know what the Bible is talking about here. To begin with, the mustard isn't the tiniest seed of all. There are actually smaller seeds. But they are so small, it takes 21,000 of them to make up an ounce. As a matter of fact, when I was teaching the Sunday school lesson on this, I got an even better image for just how small these seeds are and how little they weigh. Tommy was telling us that when you went out to scatter mustard seed, you had to take them and mix them in with a bunch of dirt and throw the dirt with the seeds out. Otherwise, you'd end up germinating mustard seed across all your fields because the wind would catch it and disperse it, so that they are so very small. And as the meme goes, I was today years old when I discovered that mustard seeds actually grew into trees. You know, for some reason in my adult life, I had always thought that mushroom trees grew outward like a bush. I don't quite know why I would have been that wrong, but I was. But today, when I went this morning and looked at pictures of mustard trees, what I found is that the Bible is really true. These things grow with a bough and with extended branches that cover a large distance. They are wonderful shelters for the birds of the air. But it starts with the smallest possible kernel. Now, you can imagine that as this small group of disciples heard this word, it would have been somewhat encouraging. You see, they were, after all, just a handful of them up against odds that would have seemed impossible. Not only were the Romans there was still hostility within and among the Jewish people, as there wasn't much unanimity on anything. So these disciples would have heard this word that the kingdom of God begins as the tiniest of mustard seeds, and they would have thought, and how? And how? Because these seeds are so small that they must grow into these large trees. And if you think about it, I think as we think about ourselves and our faith journeys, this is something that resonates with us. I think our faith in Jesus Christ starts out very small and very weak, and given to us entirely by the power of the Holy Spirit. It isn't the case that you send new converts off to mission trips. That takes time and development and more greater understanding. What begins very small is faith. I know a woman, in fact, I worked for, who could testify to this truth most abundantly. You see, she was in her 30s. The woman that I worked for as pastor of my last church worked in a regular job, not a pastor, and had what she said was the smallest kernel of faith that you can imagine. They were, to her words, Christmas and Easter only Christians. And if they missed Christmas or Easter, that was okay. They'd probably get the other one. But then it was then that she was diagnosed with cancer. She said she fell apart to begin with and was lost and didn't know quite what to do. But that as the days turned on, she began waking up at 2 a.m. just out of anxiousness and nervousness. And it was then that one of her friends suggested that she read the scriptures, and specifically to read the Psalms. And so she began every night this waking up due to anxiety. It started out, and then she would read the Psalms. She said she started it just to try to go to sleep, and she thought maybe that the Psalms would be boring enough to do that. Thankfully, that seed was in her already, because that faith grew. And soon she found herself setting an alarm clock for 2 a.m. so that she would have that special cozy time with God. You see, in her life, that faith the size of a mustard seed had grown and grown and grown. Today, she's the pastor of a pretty large church. So I think it worked out well. Faith begins small, like a mustard seed, and grows to unimaginable heights. You know, I can't help but I want to incorporate that image as it relates to this church, right? Because right now, we're a small bunch. Smaller than probably we have been before. But we are a faithful group. We have amazing potential because of that. And what this parable shares with us is though we are small in number now, wait till the Holy Spirit does a number. Wait till the Holy Spirit gets a hold of this congregation, because then we're going to see the pews fill, and we're going to see joy in new eyes. And that's what we live for. You see, what God has shared with us is this amazing ability to share the gospel in our words and in our deeds. And this church has an amazing desire to do so. You know, the elders of our church just this past Sunday went through a training with the Gideons to prepare us to talk more about our faith in general conversations. It was a workshop called Conversations. And so we're working with them to learn more and more about how do we take this good news, how do we take that small seed and see it scattered well. And so we're working on those kinds of things. This church can grow larger, but it will take an effort of all of her members to do so. And it'll take the same kinds of disciplines that it has always taken. It'll take more reading of Scripture. It'll take more an active dedication to our prayer life. It'll take more and more missional involvement. And I'm so excited that our mission committee has so many wonderful things lined up for us in the coming weeks and months to do. Because those are the opportunities that we get that enable us to move the gospel forward, to see with our own eyes that tiny mustard seed grow larger and larger and larger, such that it dominates even the skies around us. The second part of our parable is about yeast. And I'm really fortunate that every time I think of yeast, my mind turns to one place, George Schmarin. George Schmarin was an elderly guy when I got his baking class at CPCC, Baking 2. It was for the real winners. Now, George Schmarin, you know, in a way, even if you don't know him. George Schmarin, according to him, was the person that formulated the Bojangles biscuit formula. Yeah, he didn't call it a recipe. He called it a formula, because bakers think of themselves primarily as chemists, and for good reason. He created that, but we were in his baking class, and you see, we weren't so bright, because there are a whole lot of types of yeast. There's fresh yeast, and there's instant yeast, and there's dried yeast. And the thing is, they all weigh different amounts. And so we converted a recipe unwittingly from using a fresh yeast measurement to using an instant yeast measurement. Sandy would know how bad a midnight disaster that would be. And it was. We could tell from the very outset that this thing was growing like you wouldn't, like crazy, and was not ever put in the oven. Its expansion was so great. I can't help but think that it reminded me something of that I Love Lucy episode that you may have seen, where she does something similar and she's shoving the bread back into the oven. I wonder if we had put it in, if it would have done something like that. But this second matching twin parable tells us something we need to hear. It tells us that what first begins as hidden once eventually mixes through the whole batch. Three measures of flour is an incredible amount of flour. It's enough flour to make enough bread to feed a family for an entire week. So this, again, this is a small measure of yeast. Yeast, interestingly, is used both in the positive and negative way in the Bible. You know, at one point, we're going to hear Jesus say, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. So leaven can be used as a negative thing. But what we see here when we look in this passage is it's very clearly a positive thing, that the leaven is the kingdom of God, and it starts out as hidden, but it has the potential to affect, and will affect, rather, the entire batch. That's another thing we can think about, is our faith begins sometimes hidden even from us. You know, if you had told me 30-plus years ago that one day I would be preaching on Sunday and wearing this silly getup, right? I would have laughed at you. You see, I didn't realize what God had in store for me. And what God had in store for me, who was an avowed atheist at the time, not that I even knew what that meant, I don't think, it just sounded cool, right? No, I'm an atheist. I don't do that, right? But what I didn't know was what God had in store for me. And I rejoice that what was hidden at first will be revealed. I think we can also appropriate this same image again for this church, like we did for the mustard seed. I think we can look and see that our members, great of faith, are out there scattered on Charlotte's west side. They're in schools, they're in clubs, they're in hunting groups. They're involved in the society around us. And because of that, we can count on the loaf being leavened. We can count that in our members' actions and love, that somehow, some way, the kingdom of God is advancing. If it's small at times, greater at others, and we rejoice in that knowledge. We rejoice knowing that God has gonna start something small and make it big. And we rejoice that what can be hidden can also be interspersed through the whole loaf so that everything is touched and suffused with a measure of the goodness of the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now, having heard the word read and proclaimed, into a time of prayer in which we reach up to God with the matters that are urgent upon our hearts. We do so expecting that God will not only hear our prayers, but that he will also indeed respond. So join me as we pray. Wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for this day and for this time to be gathered together in you, O Lord. For you are the power that woke us from bed this morning. You are the force which impelled us come here. You are the love which inspires us to love this, your world. And gracious God, we rest so comfortably in the peaceful arms that you provide us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Continue to bless us with that peace that surpasses all understanding, we beg of you, Father God. Enable our faith, which may today be as small as a mustard seed, to grow prodigiously, O Lord, such that it becomes a tree, such that it becomes shelter for the birds of the air, O Lord, we pray. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would make our faith like yeast and that it would leaven not only the entirety of our lives, but would spill out into all the lives that we touch, Father God. Be with us, O Lord, as we move forward in this church. Be with us, Heavenly Father, as we seek to find out exactly how your mustard tree will emerge in our hearts and in minds and in this particular church. Heavenly Father, we thank you, knowing and trusting that you, Father God, are the one that nurtures us, O God, body, mind, and soul. Heavenly Father, this is still a world broken by sin, and to that end, we know that there are still the bumps and bangs and things that go bump in the night that trouble our soul. There's illness and sadness and sickness and, yes, even death, Father God. And so we pray in response, O Lord. We pray for those who are sick or grieving or lonely or anxious, just as we pray that your kingdom would come in its fullness and that right quickly. While we pray for all of the members on our prayer list, we remember today especially Pat Hager, Susie Hager, Sharon and Steve Gilmore, Don Monteith, Jack McClure, Jill Griffin, Pete Mitchell, Debbie White. We rejoice in the birth of Ryan Oliver, O Lord. We pray for this young man, for his health, and for the strength of that will come. We pray most especially, O Lord, that when you so choose, that you'll reveal to him the faith that is so certainly there, and that he'll live an inspiring and inspired life. We make these prayers to you, O Lord, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Concluding with the prayer he taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver.
Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy are my soul like the sea river.
Let us pray. Father God, we rejoice in the many blessings that you've showered in our lives. Now, as we return a portion of those blessings back, we pray that you would use this offering, sanctifying it and bringing it to employ to make this world shine and sparkle with the kingdom of God. We make these prayers to you in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, I did. I missed one thing, and I apologize. The flowers this morning are happy birthday to Nana Diane McClure from all your grandbabies. Oh. And congratulations to Lyle and Bonnie Pace, who are the proud grandparents of their first grandchild, Ryan Oliver, who was born on Monday, August 15th. Their daughter, Laura, and husband, Michael, are the proud parents wine was a little early, but weighed in at 6 pounds, 10 ounces, and after a few extra days at the hospital is doing well. May God bless his family with many years of good health and lots of love.
Amen.
We thank you for that. I'm going to stay back here because of COVID in my family. But now may the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. The words are in your program. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you, I want to see you, I want to see you, I want to see you,
one more time,
I want to see
God bless you. Have a great day. Well.